Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the entire chapter 13 of Matthew is a collection of parables. And in it, just after Jesus told the parable of the sower, and before he explains it, its meaning to the disciples, our pericope today stands. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to them, the people, in parables?" Yeah, why does he speak to them in parables? Maybe the disciples think these parables are too difficult for these people. Keep it simple. Be a better communicator. On the other hand, everybody likes stories, right? Everybody likes pictures in words against abstract ideas that are hard to conceive. So why does Jesus use parables? Well, he doesn't use it the way we use stories and metaphors as a pedagogical tool to make difficult subject matters simple or to illustrate them. Neither does he use them to keep or regain people's attention with a captivating image in an otherwise dry dogmatic discourse. It seems rather that Jesus does not use them as a help to understand, but as a means to hide what he has to say. That doesn't sound nice. Almost as if Jesus was running a tough graduate school, and you have to get through that course, through that parable course, right? And if you don't make it, you're not cut out for it. You're not one of them. You better go somewhere else. But Jesus does not say to the disciples, "You are smart, you get it, but those other people, they are dumb. And that's not a problem. They deservedly don't get what I have to say. He says to the disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." The disciples got it because they received it. They understand the mysteries of the kingdom, not because they are smarter, but because God has opened their eyes. What are these mysteries? The mysteries of the kingdom is that this kingdom of God, the salvific rule of God, has come in Jesus. The final plan of God's salvation, the final plan of God with humanity, is now here present in this man, Jesus, in his words. In him, there is the gracious God coming to his people. How do these people get it? They get it through parables, through Jesus' preaching. These parables do not only describe what is going on, they are not a pedagogical tool, but actually they draw you in. By listening to them and understanding them, you are drawn into it. You understand now, you get it. Here is the kingdom of God. And this understanding is really the same as faith. When you get the parable, you realize, yes, here is the kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus is the sower. Yes, this is worth more than anything else. This is the pearl of great price. This is the treasure in the field. How does a person get it? Well, it has to be given. It is something that man cannot, by his own reason or strength, accomplish. So to understand, it is not only that you can't get it, that the parable of the sower, for example, talks about Jesus or the treasure, but that you believe that it is true. It's not a question of mere intellectual understanding. After all, some of these parables are not that difficult to understand, right? The mustard seed, every 10-year-old child can understand what it says. If you explain what a mustard seed is and the tree. Again, it's not a question of intelligence. And these other people, around him? Did they not understand what was going on? Well, on one level, they did understand very well. They did understand that Jesus claimed that he was the ultimate and highest messenger from God, that salvation has here, that he is the Son of God. That's what they charged him with. But they didn't believe, and so what he said, they thought was blasphemy. They did not believe that these words were true. They understood on one level, but they didn't get it. The word of God does not convince everybody. Sometimes it even seems to increase non-understanding. Yes, provoke a violent anti-reaction, as we see in the example of Jesus. Not everybody was convinced. Even Jesus did not convince everybody. Others heard it, and they were confirmed in their unbelief. It's not the first time that happens. In our pericope, we have a quotation from Isaiah. More than 700 years before God had said this to Isaiah, "The word of God creates faith and hardens those who reject it in unbelief." And later, Paul will say the same thing with these words, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life." The same words. Some receive it in joy to life, and some are confirmed in their death. It's frightening. But what does that mean for us? First, there is no place for pride or arrogance among Christians. We have because God gave us, not because we are better, not because we are smarter, not because we have a better character, but because God gave us by sheer grace. Unbelief is not a consequence of stupidity, but it really is a riddle. There is Christ speaking to them, and they still do not believe. The unbeliever entangles himself more and more in his sins by their own fault, out of which they cannot release themselves, and which they ensnare themselves deeper and deeper. Jesus tells these words to the disciples between telling the parable of the sower and the interpretation of that parable. He sows the seed of the word of God, even if some or many will not be born again through it, even if some will not receive it and will not bear fruit. He does not categorize people ahead of time, selecting between those who will be good prospects and those who will never understand, whom you not even preach to. He does not cease to preach because the success might not be what he thought it would be. Nor does he ever refuse to talk even to his most bitter enemies. So also we. The church has the task to proclaim the word of God. Some will receive it in joy and bear good fruit. Others will hear and not understand, see and not perceive, and be hardened in their unbelief. We do not know who will receive it and who will reject it. It's not our job to sort out people. Our job is to preach. We need not be surprised if the word encounters resistance. It has happened to Isaiah. It has happened to Jesus. It has happened to Paul. You want to be better than them? You want to have it better? We all want a happy life, but that's not a happy and successful life in that sense. That is not what Scripture tells us is going to happen when you proclaim and share the word of God. No, that people believe is a miracle. That faith is created that eyes are opened, that stopped ears are opened. That is a work of God for which we pray, and which God works through these words we say, as he did before, as what happened when Jesus told these parables and some received them. So do not be afraid when people oppose the word of God you bring to them. Do not ever think, this person will never believe. You don't know. God works miracles. He raises the dead to life. With him all things are possible. Do not be disappointed when not everybody receives the word with joy, and do not get lazy in your task or seek something else that seems to work better than the word of God. There is nothing. God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom is growing like the mustard seed. It is changing the world like the leaven through the mission of the church. And so the word grows, even if some reject it. That is the promise we have. That is the task we have. Amen.